Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. On the last broadcast, we had started a discussion on verse 17, and I would like to pick it up there, but for the sake of those who may be joining us for the first time, to simply start with verse 17 would be a little hard to follow, so I'll go back and begin with verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause, all right, you get the connection there, because his desire is to have them following the teaching that he has laid down before, because there's been a period of time between his actual having been there, and at the present time of his writing, there have been things that have let slip, or been let slip, as they have gotten involved in these factional debates and arguments. There have been some important things that they have allowed to slip from their conscious minds. And so when he says, wherefore I beseech you to follow, or wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me, and for this cause, for the purpose of getting you back into that way, I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now, so far as we know, Paul is not his actual father. Spiritually, yes, perhaps he led him to Christ, or at least discipled him early on. You remember that Lois and Eunice, his mother and grandmother, had been faithful in teaching him from the time he was a child, and you can follow up on that in 1 and 2 Timothy. But for the sake of what we're just saying right here, Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Now, he's beloved from the standpoint that he has spent time with Paul. Paul has taken an active interest in his ministry. You'll remember that 1 and 2 Timothy, Paul's epistles to this young man while he was a pastor there in Ephesus, or while he was pastoring the church there in Ephesus, you see that he's very concerned and solicitous that this young man develop into the kind of man of God that would be necessary to be effective to discharge the ministry. Now, he says, for the purpose of re-educating, but reminding you, putting you in mind again of the things I've taught, I've sent Timothy, who is faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. Now, he's not concerned about them remembering his little quirky personal habits or anything like that, but rather he is concerned that they remember what Paul taught them, which be my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. It is not a matter that Paul has custom tailored some doctrine for the church at Corinth and has moved on to something else. It's not a matter here of progressive revelation in the sense of, well, I've got something new, something exciting. No, this is what I preach everywhere in every church. Now, he says in verse 18, now some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. Now, keep in mind this idea, this group of pompous, smug, self-satisfied individuals who have been figuring largely, I think, in this factionalism. It's an interesting thing. But when you have people who are constantly jockeying for position for their favorite man, they find, or you will find, it's very likely that they themselves get so caught up in what they're doing, they begin to appropriate to themselves more importance than is really right. And so as a result of the factions and the division here in Corinth, some of this has rubbed off, some of it has come to the surface. And he says, now some are puffed up, that is, bloated with their own self-importance, as though I would not come to you. Keep in mind, in chapter 3, Paul's been talking about carnality, the overemphasis of the flesh, the fact that instead of being spirit-controlled, they're being controlled by that old nature that, if you've studied 1 Ephesians, there we go. If you'll remember there in Ephesians, he talks about putting off that old man. He's talking about putting off the flesh. Now, these people obviously have not gotten to that point. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power. Power. Ultimately, it comes down to this in the Christian life. Power. The need for power. The demonstration of power. Working with power. Preaching and teaching with power. That power must come from God. Otherwise, now when I say must, not in the sense, well, I don't know where else it could go. It must be from God. I don't mean like that. I mean it has to come from God if it is going to be apparent at all. Otherwise, we're talking about power in, we'll set in quotations, as though somebody is so eloquent, he's a powerful speaker. We're talking here not so much words as we are reality. He says, when I come, if the Lord wills, I'm coming, and I will set the record straight here. I'm going to come, and I'm determined not to know the speech of them that are puffed up. I don't care what they say. I want them to put their money where their mouth is. I want to see some action. I want to know whether or not they possess power or whether or not they're just windbags. They're puffed up. I want to know the power. When you deal with the subject of carnality, you are almost of necessity talking about people who are ignorant of the power of God. The power of a collective agreement, the power of conspiracy, the power in everybody kowtowing to somebody and having a sense of unity, having a united front, is not to be compared, is not to be mistaken for the power that only God gives. It cannot come from any place else, nor the source. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You see, if the church had been nothing more than the product of religious teaching, if it had been nothing more than a temporary manifestation of man's philosophies, my friend, it would have been long gone, even though they were good men or the philosophies and the teachings were, positive and, directed toward being nice and helping their fellow man, it would have disappeared long before this. The only excuse, the only reason, the only rationalization, the only means by which the Church of Jesus Christ could still be in existence today is by the power of God. Now, when we talk about the Church of Jesus Christ, I am not talking about a denomination. I am not talking about anything other than the existence of those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have been redeemed and set free from sin's bondage, who are knowing or tasting of the fullness of life that is available only through Christ. Now, that may not be politically correct. There are those who would say, you make it sound like the only true religion is Christianity. Well, you think I make it sound that way, do you? Well, good, because that's exactly what I mean. I am sick to death of people trying to bend over backwards so they can maintain popularity, getting patted on the back for being fine religious people, when they ignore the truth in order to get those accolades, the approval of the world system. My friend, the scripture says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? There can be no communion between light and darkness, between God and Satan. And when you have these ecumenically minded idiots who are saying, let's all draw together, you know, if we join hands, we can turn back the tide of evil. No, you can't. No, you can't. I don't know exactly what you're selling, but I do know you cannot make good on that claim. There will be no peace until the Prince of Peace come. There will be no peace till Shiloh come, the scripture says. And all of this trying, all the effort, trying to beat out the brush fires around the world so we can have world peace, is a waste of time, an exercise of futility. Now somebody may say, oh, so you just want to bow out and let the world go to hell? Certainly not. Certainly not. My friend, if you're a Christian, you have been called upon to minister in this world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. That is, the world is not our home. It's not our base. We may have come from it. But my friend, you've turned your back on that to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And as such, rather than being a fact of turning your back on the world's condition, it is a recognition of the world's true condition. There cannot be any real peace so long as men have hell in their heart. And there is no way to get rid of that. There is no way to get rid of the sin nature. There is no way of getting rid of the bondage of sin without the freedom that comes only through a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is exclusive. It excludes any other way, any other truth, any other mode of living. Now, that just makes everybody all upset, make them have a nasty little hissy fit. Oh, you can't say that. I just did. Would you like for me to say it again? There is no way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. Now, I don't care how you want to stamp your foot and say, that's not so and I don't believe it. That doesn't make it any different. You see, I'm limiting myself to what the Bible says. You can go ahead and go out on a limb and say it's this way or it's that way, and you'll find the tree moving right out from under you. But when you stand on what the Bible says, you have the authority of Almighty God behind you. You see, I'm not worried about popularity. I don't have to worry about prestige. I am a fool for Christ's sake. A fool, if you want to look at it that way, who is so unintelligent as to believe the Bible. To be quite honest with you, my friend, when I see what the Bible says about what constitutes a fool and what does not, what constitutes a servant of God, I would rather be considered a fool by this world system than to have them pat me on the back and say, oh my, what a wonderful mind, what an intelligent individual, what a talented speaker. I would rather have my Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and be, as Paul talks about, being considered the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things unto this day. I would rather be in that company than the other. Paul said, I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them that are puffed up, but the power, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love, in the spirit of meekness? It's your choice. Choice he's giving them. Now my time is gone, and I'll need to get off. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for the next edition.